Well, praise the Lord. We're going to dive into God's words for a few minutes and release you to enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of your week. For those of you who are guests with us today, we are on the theme of family, health, and togetherness, and want to encourage you and challenge you to look at areas in your life where we can strengthen you and the process enable us as a church family to become a stronger church family and a better church family, because we must become a family first before we can become an army. Our goal is to become a strong army and to be able to fight, because we are in warfare. But we cannot fight unless we are unified and together. If we try to fight without being unified and together, what we end up doing is fighting ourselves. But when we come together as a trained, prepared, ready army, we can put our efforts and ideologies together and fight any battle that is before us. So we are looking today at a passage of scripture that deals with family and issues of family. And the story that we're going to look at this morning is taken from primarily three chapters of Genesis. And so we're not going to read three chapters of Genesis this morning, but I want to ask you after the service if you would go home and spend some time in Genesis chapter 24, 25, and 27. And wondering for today if we would just look at the first 12 verses of Genesis chapter 24, 1 to 12. Genesis chapter 24, 1 to 12. Let's look at those first 12 verses, and then we shall continue. And again, I'm wondering if for the sake of those listening by way of the internet, if maybe someone would come to the microphone and we can read God's word together in a loud and a clear way so that they can hear us. So I'm wondering this morning if someone would be so kind to do that for us. You coming to read, Audrey? No? It was just there for the taking. Genesis 24, 1 to 12. Thanks, Lorena. Lorena's coming. All right. Thanks, Lorena.
And Abraham was old and well stricken in age,
and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and shew kindness unto my master Abraham.
Thank you, Lorena. Let's affirm the reading of God's word. This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles, and I will stand on its promises. I declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I was preparing this message, I realized that there are many biblical truths found in the scripture today. And I believe that a lot of you are going to get hit. So you can call me the hitman. Because I plan to hit you here, there, and everywhere. But if you get hit, I'm just the messenger. If you get hit, I'm just the messenger. All right? So I just want to give you that disclaimer up front. Okay? Because we're dealing with the issues of family and family structure and family togetherness, we always need to go back, like we did for the last two Sundays, on our diagram that we had, to show you what was God's original intent and purpose for the family. How men and women ought to live in Eden, in God's presence. Well, we're going to come out of Eden this morning, and we're going to see that Abraham, one of God's faithful servants, chosen servants, is about to do something that many of us would consider to be old-fashioned. But I believe that even though we may not be able to go back into Abraham's timeline and time zone, there are principles, I believe, that if they are employed in our day and age, can save us a lot of grief. And so I'm hoping that you would hear the words of the Lord and make the adjustments. Now, for some of you, you've been married for the last 100 years. Some of these things, well, seriously, Debbie and I have been married for 36 years, 18 for her and 18 for me. My 18 is different from her 18. All right, seriously. And if you speak to husband and wife, his experience is different from her experience. It's a different 18 years. So some of you who've been married for a long time, some of this information may not be applicable to you, but you have children, and you have grandchildren, and you have nieces, and you have nephews, and you have neighbors. But more importantly, you're in the body of Christ, and there's always someone in the body of Christ to whom we can help and empower to live a more fruitful and enriched Christian life. So even though the principles we're going to point out may not necessarily apply to you individually, there are people within your sphere of influence to whom these principles can have a tremendous impact upon. For the interest of time, I want to begin by saying to you that as we look at God's ideal for marriages and family, the first thing that is needed, the first ingredient, is a submission to the Father. If you got your bulletin, I'm not going to make it too flowery today. I got lots to cover, so I'm going to hit these points and move on. One of the first things we notice is that there has to be a submission to the Father. And so in Genesis chapter 24, 1 to 4, 10 to 19, 62 to 72, we notice that Abraham is involved in the choosing of a wife for his son Isaac. The father is involved in the choosing of a wife for his son Isaac. Abraham did not wait until Isaac went out and found the young lady, brought her home, and then criticized him for his choice of spousal selection. Hello, somebody. That's what the text says. Abraham went out, got his best servant, told him to make a deal with him, and to go out and find him a wife. Now, I think it's important for fathers to be actively involved in the lives of their children. I believe it's very important that fathers be actively involved in the lives of their children. You've heard me share the statistics with you from the United States prison cell, and they tell us that because the concentration of inmates are black. They said that 90%+ of the inmates in a United States jail cell came from a home where dad was absent. Now, I don't know if that's the reason they end up in jail, but I think it's significant enough for us to take note of it, that dad plays an important role in the development of his children. He creates a stability and structure in the home if he's a godly man. You can't do that if you're unwilling to submit yourself to godly principles. You can't rule in a godly environment if God is in Eden and you're outside of Eden. All right? And so we notice that Abraham, now I was a little bit nervous because when you're reading the text, Abraham says to his servant, "Why don't you come and put your hands under my thigh?" I'm thinking, in today's day and age, I'd be like, "Boss, I'm not too sure about this." You know, it's a little too close to comfort, you know. But sometimes as you're reading the text, your mind is going, I'm thinking, how would this go over in today's generation? You know what I mean? If your boss called you into this office and say, "Hey, you know, would you come and put your hand under my tie and make an agreement with me?" I'm thinking, what's wrong with your coffee this morning? Seriously, I mean, wouldn't you have that reaction? However, for the servant, it was not a strange engagement because he did not oppose to it, right? He didn't frown on it, so obviously it was something that has to do with their custom, and so he was familiar with that. And so we notice in the text that Abraham took the initiative in finding a wife for his son Isaac. Now, for those of you within the context of sitting within the sound of my voice or listening by way of our internet, what happens when you don't have a father in your life? And you may not have a biological father, but the principle still stands that there is an opportunity for you to develop a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And what biological father didn't do, I know that Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, can do and will do if there is submission to him. And so what we see Abraham doing is positioning himself in a way where his son is going to have the best life ever. Now, daddy and mommy being involved in the selection of a spouse today is seen as like, this is arranged marriages. We don't do that anymore. But in many countries in the world, arranged marriages are still practiced. Sometimes it's not very healthy, and other times it has worked. But the fact of the matter is that arranged marriages does work, and I think it's important, even if it's not an arranged marriage, to have the support of mom and dad in the selection of a spouse. I think that when my daughter is of age, which is probably another 99 years, to date and to bring home a young man, I'm going to be involved in the selection process because everybody's not going to fly. I don't think there's going to be anybody who's going to be good enough either for my sons or for my daughters, all right? And so my son will tell you that we've had many conversations and how I feel, because I want to make sure, and not to control their lives, but I want to make sure that I give them a better start in life than I had. And I think this is what we see Abraham doing, is setting up the stage for his son Isaac to have a good relationship. So I want you to know that it's important, fathers that are sitting within the sound of my voice, for you to have a healthy relationship with your children. Dads, you could be home, but you could still be absent. And so I'm appealing to you, be engaged, be involved, be intentional about your relationship with your children. And for those of you where daddy is not involved because of circumstances beyond your control, do not allow that to be an excuse for you to make poor choices. God is your Heavenly Father, and he has the ability to still lead and direct you in such a way that your life can produce victory and success, not only for yourself, for those involved in your life, and for those around, and to him as well. Now, one of the things we read when we read the text, I don't know if you read your text at all, but when I study the text, I'm thinking, well, why is Abraham selecting a wife for his son? And one of the first questions that came to mind, well, how old is Isaac? And can anyone tell me how old Isaac was when he was when his dad was looking for a wife for him? You could, Okay, go to Genesis 25:20. Just flip over. He was 40 years of age. Now listen to this. He was 40 years of age and still living in his mama's house and not married. If you were dating a young man today that was 40 years of age and still living in his mama's house, what would you be saying to yourself? What's wrong with him? Why? You see how things have changed in our day and age? You see how things have changed? All right? Mind you, back then, they lived longer. I mean, you know, they lived much longer. But Isaac was 40 years of age and still living at home with mommy and daddy, and it wasn't an issue. Here's the principle. Young people, stay home as long as you can, okay? Don't be too much in a hurry to get out, because here's what happens. At 17 and 18, you think you know it all, and you move out. And then at 35, you want to move back in because you realize you didn't know so much to begin with. So you might as well stay. Mikey, if your dad is not on your case to get an apartment, stay home as long as you can. Stay in that basement. Okay? Sharon is going, no, no, he's got to go. In North America, I think we do our children a great injustice because I think we rush them out too fast. And then later on in life, they're ill-prepared for life, and then they end up crashing and failing. In Guyana, where I'm from, sometimes it's not uncommon for two or three people to be married, living in the same house with your mother-in-law and your father-in-law and your grandparents, and everybody having to fight them, we carry on, but we have a good time. All right? But I understand times have changed. But in this context, we say that Isaac is 40 years of age, and there's nothing wrong with him. It's not that he couldn't find a wife. Was Abraham a poor man? Abraham was wealthy. Was he well known? This is Abraham. Prestigious family. You would have think he would have been a chick magnet. I mean, the girl should have been all over Isaac. Right? But they've lived their lives in such a way. And Abraham said, I don't want to pick a woman from the Canaanites for my sons. Why? Because their cultural and religious differences. Now, picking someone to be your soulmate or your life partner from a different culture is not it's not guaranteed failure. It can work. But what we see in the text is Abraham is saying, pick someone from my family side, go into a different land, pick people from around my family who understand the same culture. Well, what I hear Abraham saying is that if we have the same cultural background and the same religious views, these things can help enhance the relationship. It's not to say if you pick someone else that your relationship couldn't be enhanced. But what we're seeing is that when you start adding different cultures and different religious views, it creates a lot of problems in the marriage. And marriage is hard to begin with. So when you start adding all those external dynamics, it creates more pressure and people end up cracking. So Abraham says, son, don't go and put yourself with people who don't believe in your God. Because which one you're going to worship? She wants to worship her God. You want to worship her God. Which church are you going to go to on Sunday morning? So Abraham is saying to his son, choose wisely. Stay within your community. And this could eliminate possibilities for some heartaches down the road. Now, listen to me carefully. Even though Abraham starts out with Isaac, right? I'm going to show you that this marriage, even though they did all the right things, still ended up in trouble. So picking the right person from your village and from your country and your language is no guarantee for success. Okay? I just want to make that very clearly. When you study Isaac and Rebekah later on, they had a lot of issues. And they started out with goo-goo eyes and drooling all over each other and everything was fine. But it didn't end up that way. And we're going to show you that in our text. So let me move along. You know, I want to ask you for a favor. We've received a lot of feedback that our services are too long and that we ought to shorten them. But I tell you, I got 6 pages of notes and I haven't turned to page 2 yet. It's almost 11:52. If you got to go, the Lord bless you. If you want to stay and hear this, you have the freedom to do so. All right? And we notice that Isaac, Abraham wanted his son to have the best start in life. And I want to say to you young people that are sitting within the sound of my voice that it's important for you to have the best start in life. Tyvon, I think the best situation for you would be to finish your schooling, get your degree, have a profession, and you could be dating in the process, but dating ought not to be a priority. When you finish that and you get yourself a job, secure yourself, then you move out from your mom and dad's house. But if you don't secure yourself properly and then you want to move out and 4 foot in bed and having all this fun, which is fine, it's your choice as an adult, but it's not the best way to start. It'll cost you eventually, and it'll cost you more than if you had sacrificed and done it the right way. So to my young people, Therese, if you don't have to rush into a relationship, don't rush into a relationship, right? Don't rush into a relationship. And all the grown men say, that is not in the text. So Abraham told the servants that to go and look into his home country. Abraham told his servants to look for someone with similar character. So listen to this, Reese. Find someone with similar character. Abraham says, find someone with similar personality and similar background. Now remember, Isaac has never met this young lady and she's never met Isaac, but similar character. You don't want to be in a relationship with someone who's pulling you in a path one way and you trying to go a different way. You want, two cannot walk together unless they agree, right? So you want to find someone with similar character who's going to help you to worship God. You don't want to be in a relationship with someone when you say, let's pray, they're frowning on that, right? Or let's watch the movie first. You know, you want someone, if you say, let's pray, they can say, honey, let's pray. So similar character, right? Similar personality. There's nothing worse. Now listen to this. There's nothing worse than being in a relationship with someone whose personality is so different from yours that you can't connect on anything. Now, opposites attract. And the last thing you want to do is to be in a relationship with someone who's just like you, because you will drive each other crazy. You need some differences. Okay? Opposites attract. But you don't want it to be so different that you can't agree on anything. So there has to be some wisdom there. And similar background. Right? You know? Religious background, cultural background, social economic background, all right? And in today's society, this may be considered to be a little way of backward thinking, but it's God's word, and I'm going to preach God's word and tell you what God's word says. But remember, my friends, having all of these things is no guarantee for success, for a successful relationship. I've got family members who grew up in the same village, lived next door to each other, went to the same primary school, worked in the same community, got married, and didn't end up living out a healthy marriage life, ended up divorced. Why was that? They had all these things in common, but there was an ingredient that wasn't there. So, I want to encourage you in this area. And so, look how they started out. The servant whom Abraham sent got on his camels, and the first thing the servant did, look in verse 12, Genesis 24, verse 12, the servant prayed and asked God to lead him to the right person, and God did lead him to Rebecca. This relationship started with prayer. If you're going to be in a relationship with someone and prayer is not involved at the beginning, you're destined for failure to begin with. It's got to be started on prayer. Now, the servant prayed and asked God, not only he prayed, but he said, Lord, give me confirmation. Look at verses 13 to 15, Genesis 24, 13 to 15. Okay, he prayed and he asked God for confirmation. And I want to say to you that when you're looking for a spouse, maybe have some people in your life that can give you the confirmation. Have people that, you know, who can say to you, what do you think about this? Ask the Holy Spirit for confirmation. A lot of times we get into relationships based on our feelings. And when the fuzzies are gone, there's nothing else left for us to build on. And so notice in verses 16 of 24 that he came to the well, and what does it say? That Rebecca was what? Look at the text. Very beautiful and a virgin. I know you're going to think I'm old school. Okay? She was very beautiful and she was a virgin. She was not known as the tongue's tramp. Okay? Young ladies, your character have to speak for you. You can't be known as the person that gives more rides than the Greyhound bus. You can't be known as the person who gives more turn than a doorknob. Hey, let me tell you a story. When I was partying, I loved those kinds of women, but I would never take one home to mama. Mm-mm. Good to have fun with, not to marry. All right? So, young ladies, you need to know. You can't be the person that is known in town that gives more rides than a Greyhound bus or more turns than a doorknob. So you have to protect your character and your integrity, because it's going to come back to haunt you when you're 35 and 40 years old. And you maybe think you're having fun now, but you're not having any fun. And so the text tells us that Rebecca was beautiful and she was a virgin. Those character qualities were seen right away by the servants of Abraham. And the servants of Abraham look for character. And here's what he says. I'm going to ask this young lady for a drink. And she must say that I'll feed your camels too. And guess what? He prayed and asked for confirmation. He saw Rebecca. He got to the well. Now listen to the thing. Now listen to this. Now he knew where the ladies were going to be when they were drawing water. And he got there before they arrived. Okay? For some of you looking for spouses, you have to know where to look and position yourself ahead of time so that you can get the first catch. Because the early bird gets the worm. Okay? So the servant arrived early. Hey, am I making this up? It's in the text. I'm just giving it to you. The servant got there early. And Rebecca showed up. She was beautiful and severe, and he asked her for a drink. And she says, not only am I going to give you a drink, but I'm going to give your camels a drink. And in this demonstration with Rebecca, what she says is that if she is willing to serve a stranger in this way, how would she serve a husband? Now let me ask you a question. You don't think about this. It's one thing to give a man to drink, but how many gallons of water do you think 10 camels will drink? There's your homework for next week. Find out, on average, how many gallons of water one camel will drink, multiplied by 10, and see, even if Rebecca was just dropping a bucket in a well, how many times she would have to bring that bucket up and down, not only to feed Abraham's servants, but 10 camels as well. Figure it out. That's your homework for next week. Okay? Don't think this was a piece of cake for her. She worked. And she modeled godliness and decency and integrity. And the servants, when the servants saw it, he says, who are your people? Where are you from? I want to go to your house. And so we notice that she served 10 men, the men plus 10 camels. If she could show such kindness and hospitality to a stranger, she would show this to a husband in a greater way. Or brother Laban said, when they got to the house, wow, the things that the servant said to Rebecca's parents and to Laban, her brother, said, wow, this is good news. This thing is of the Lord. So there's prayer to begin with, there's confirmation, and there's an agreement amongst the parties that this is of God. When God is in it, it feels right. When God is in it, there's confirmation. If you're trying to do something and it just doesn't feel right, then there's constant opposition and it's broken and it's never working right, you ought to stop and pause and say something is not right here, because from Scripture, when God is in it, it comes together. It flows. It's easy. It's not hard. It's not like pulling teeth. Right? It works well. And so notice in verses 28, Rebecca's parents also agreed. Her brother agrees. Now, this is the part that got me, because her brother was leaving. And he ran out to meet the men and he says, wow, this thing is of the Lord. I thought to myself, I don't think my son would be so eager to run out to one of my daughter's boyfriends or somebody that's interested in my daughter to say, this is of the Lord right away. You know what I mean? I watch him pumping them pythons, and I'm thinking, boy, we're going to have an interesting time when she starts dating. But when it's of God, it's easy, and it flows. Now, not to say that everything is easy, but there's confirmation. There's a feeling that the Holy Spirit is in this. Now, look at verses 60 of our text. She did not elope and take off with the guy, but her parents gave her their blessings to release her. I think it's important, Reese, that when you find a young lady, Tyvin, or the young men that you like, Mikey, go to the parents. Ask the father out of respect for the opportunity to date his daughter. When you're ready to take it to the next level, ask him for his blessings. It goes a long way. And make sure that as you're getting involved in these things, that there's a blessings on both sides, that you're blessed, she's blessed, and you're starting out blessed. If you're not starting out blessed, then you're starting out cursed. And you don't want to do that. So we find that her parents give the blessing, and everybody's pretty much happy and going along. And now, let's move along here. So when Isaac met Rebecca, and he seen her for the first time, the text says he saw her in the field, and she said, "Who's the guy in the field coming towards us?" And she said, that's my master, and she covered herself. Should we read this in the text? Okay, let's read it. Okay, go to 60. I think it's important for you to get this. Genesis, look at verse 60. All right. And where's the text says? Who's got it? It says that when she saw him coming, she covered herself. He sent Rebecca on her way, and good. Rebecca, 65? 64, and there it is. And Rebecca also looked and saw Isaac. She got down from the coming of the master servant. "Who is this coming from the field?" And "He's my master," and answered. So she took her veil and she covered herself. She left something for the brother to imagine. It's like a 747 over some of your heads. You didn't get it. When she saw the guy, she didn't do what you see on TV. Come on, man. Isn't that what you see on TV? She covered herself. She left something for the brother to imagine. She understood somehow that men are visual, and she didn't want to give him the wrong impression. And ladies, sometimes you ought to leave something for the brother to imagine. Don't let it all hang out. And so she covered herself. And then after she covered herself and she met him, now when it's of God, check this out. How long was the engagement party? What's the next verse says? How long was the engagement party? Text said he took her into his mother's tent and made her his wife right away. Not a 747 over your head. When it's of God, you don't have to date for 6 years to see if you like each other. Your date. When it's of God, you don't have to date for 6 months to see if you like each other. All right? When it's of God, and there's been prayer from the beginning, and there's, I want to take my time with this, so give me, just work with me, okay? Prayer, confirmation. Answered prayer. Families are together. Now when they meet each other, they don't have to wonder, do we like each other? We spend 6 months. It's been bathed in prayer. It's been saturated. So he took her into his mother's tent, make her his wife. And then after he made her his wife, what does the next word say? And he did what? And he loved her. All right? He chose her to be his wife, even though he knew nothing about her. I'm going to commit to you. And then after he made her his wife, he says, I'm going to love you. Regardless of what flaws you have or what flaws you don't have, I'm choosing to love you. You are my wife. I'm choosing to love you. You're not getting it, are you? All right. I'm just checking you. You're looking at me like deer is caught in headlights. All right. So let me move on. So he got into his mother's tent. They started, and he made her his wife, and he chose to love her. Number two, after he got married, the next thing to do is to start a family. All right, I'm going to hit some people here real hard, so just work with me, okay? And you get married, God said to procreate. God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. Joseph, in my mind, multiplication means that if you are replacing, if it's you and Florian and you're multiplying, if you only have two kids, you're just replacing yourself. But multiplication, in my mind, means anything more than two. So God says, Brian and Christina, be fruitful and multiply. All right? So. So here's the thing. Here's a couple that did everything right, and now she can't get pregnant. She's barren. Okay? They did everything right, didn't they? They sought the Lord. They didn't fornicate. They got married. They did everything right. And now she's not able to have children. Now, back in their time and days, there was no in vitro fertilization and all of the modern technologies that we have today. So a couple things I want to point out to you. If you are in a relationship today where you started out doing it the right way, doing it God's way, and you can't get pregnant for whatever reason, we have enough modern technology that can assess where the problem lies. So ladies, go get tested. Men, go get tested. Why wouldn't you get tested if you can't get pregnant? But in their day and age, they didn't have all the modern medicine. But look what the first thing that Isaac did. Read the text. He prayed for his wife. A godly man standing up and praying for his wife in difficult situation. That's what the ladies love. That when difficulties arise, a man who can go to his knees and said, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I bind every devil in hell over my family. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, ladies. You got to work with me here. Okay? Don't you want a man who can pray for you when you're going through difficulties and cover you? But look at the other thing too. After he prayed for her, she became pregnant. But then something started happening. There's a lot of movement taking place. Look what she does then. She also prays. Ladies, I want you to know that it's nice to have us cover you, but it's nice for you to also be able to go to God on your own as well. Hello, men. All right. That's kind of strong there, Brian. What's going on? So while it's nice for us to cover you in prayer, and we want to, you can't leave it all the time on our hands to do. Sometimes it's nice to know that you want to cover us in prayer as well. And sometimes we want you to take the initiative and not always wait for us to come and say something. But it's nice. A man feels good when his wife says, Lord, I thank you for my husband. I pray your supernatural anointing over his life. Reveal to him the man you want him to be. Empower him, encourage him, Lord Jesus. Makes us feel good. And a healthy marriage is men and women praying, husband and wives, praying for each other and supporting each other. If it's only one person doing it, it's unbalanced. And guess what? That person that's always doing it is going to get discouraged and feel like, you know what? Why am I having to carry all of this by myself? And then when discouragement comes in, other things will take the spot of that. So please be careful. You ought to balance each other out. And so he prayed for her, but then she prayed for herself as well. And prayer is still involved in the process. All right? So it's getting late, so I just want to talk to you about that. So, all right. So start the family. Now, after they started the family, it's very common, point number three, that after you start the family, the wife is busy with the kids, the husband is busy working, and the friendship can fall through the cracks. The friendship can fall through the cracks because Brian is busy working, and Christina's hustling with Caleb all day long. And if they don't take time out to be intentional and deliberate, to spend time together and to date each other, they can eventually start pulling apart. Okay? It happens in my family. It can happen in any other family because we're so busy. I remember the days Debbie would say to me, sometimes she feels like the church is my wife and she's the mistress. You know? And God is saying to me more and more, Sion, the church is the bride of Jesus and Debbie is your bride. So spend more time with your bride and let Jesus look after his bride. Whatever happens, happens. All right? Sometimes it's a hard lesson for us type A's to learn, but God is teaching us. You know, some of us are a little slow, but that's all right. And so we find that they have these babies, and God's plan was that the older brother, who is, what's the name of the older brother? Esau, would serve the younger brother, right? And the younger brother was Jacob, all right? And so now Abraham is getting old and he's blind. And normally in this day and age, a father would perform a blessing to his, when he blesses his children, he would bless them in the public of many people with the entire family present. So something went south in the relationship because we see now that Isaac is calling his son to give him a blessing, but the entire family is not around. And Rebecca happens to hear what's going on inside. So there's something went south in that relationship that Isaac should not have been calling for the blessing of his son with the exclusion of his wife and his other son. So something went wrong in that relationship. Now, here's to further my point. She overheard Isaac saying, you know, go get me some gain so I can give you my blessing. The blessing was supposed to be done publicly. To support this point, if you go to, you don't have to do it today, but Genesis chapter 49, verse 1, you will see Jacob doing the same blessing, and he calls everybody around when he's doing the blessing. So it was not supposed to be done in private like we see in the text that Isaac is doing the blessing. All right, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourself together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Into his last day. So he's having a family meeting with everyone. Nothing was done in secret. So now here's Rebecca. Rebecca overhears what he was saying to his son. And so what she does, she says, hey, she grabs the other son and says, hey, let's trick your father. Now, when she overheard what her husband was doing, she should have said, honey, this is not right. But instead of saying that, she started conspiring with her own plans, and they both made a mess of the situation. And so I want to say to you that you have to work at maintaining a healthy friendship, that there can't be a divide. There can't be my son or your son and my daughter. They're both our children. We know what God said his plan would be. We ought to stand on God's plan and fulfill that plan. This was not the case. And so there was a breakdown in the relationship. Here's a couple that started out really good. Did it all the right way. Started having families. God blessed them. But somewhere in their marriage, the relationship broke down. And we start to see conspiracy and deceitfulness taking place, which would lead to a lot of broken hearts in their relationship. You've got to maintain those healthy relationships. So Twyla, if you and Bruce aren't going for a regular coffee and having date nights and this sort of thing, and all your focus is paying the bills and raising the kids, you put your marriage at risk. All right? So you have to have that time. Spend that time together. Make sure there's open communication. And if you are a godly man, I would even go one step further to say to you that it's your responsibility to make sure that there is healthy, meaningful communication in the relationship. Now, both parties are responsible, but somebody's got to take the lead. And so, godly man, this is your responsibility. I'm not getting too many amens on this one. Godly man, it's your responsibility to make sure. So you can read the story, Genesis 24, 25, and 27, and you can see what happened. Here's a couple that started off right, did all the right things. started a family. God blessed them, had issues, took care of the issues, got a child, and now we see conspiracy and other challenges that's in their families. So I want to encourage you, young marrieds, those of you that are about to get married, and even those of you that are married, it's never too late. It's never too late to rekindle the fire that once burned so passionately and brightly. I said to Brother Joseph last week that if he had gasoline to start the sparks, and one of my members said that he had propane or something. I can't remember what it said. What I'm saying to you, that regardless of whatever stage of life that you're in, my friends, when God gives you your start over, you need to know what to do it properly. And if you're in a relationship, it's never too late to rekindle the spiritual fire and the romantic sparks that once left. Don't allow issues to come into your relationship and create disunity in the marriage. It'll affect not only yourselves, but your children and generations to come. And you ought to read Jacob's story as it follows what's going on. And read Esau's story on what happened to him. Esau never had a good life after that. Read the story. It's in the text. All right? So this is my challenge for you. I want to just point out a few things. It took me a little bit longer. Forgive me for that, but I just really want to share some things with you. Keep that in the back of your mind. Are you good? All right, why don't we stand together? There are many of us that are looking for meaningful relationships. But meaningful relationships take a lot of work. It means that we got to live with character and decency and integrity if we want to find someone with character, integrity, and decency. And so as we bring our service to a close today, I want to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for all the goodies that you're going to buy on your way out of the service, and take it home and share it with your significant other. If you don't have a significant other, I'll pray that between here and home, you'll find a significant other. Isn't God a miracle working God? Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for these words in our text today, and for Abraham and for his family, for Isaac and Rebecca. And Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for these timeless truths that always speak into our lives. Bless every marriage that's in this sanctuary today, God. And I pray that they will enjoy the fruitfulness of their labor. The Lord, that they will love each other unconditionally, and they will be in harmonious, victorious, vital relationships, Lord Jesus. I pray for the singles that are within the sound of my voice, that you would bring spouses, godly spouses into their lives, Lord Jesus. And Lord, when they see that person, they will know, just like Rebecca knew and just like Isaac knew when they saw each other. Father God, I thank you today for what you're doing in our church and in our lives. Lord, there are many marriages that are in crisis today. I pray, God, that you bring healing and deliverance to them, Lord Jesus. Lord, these folks did not start out this way, but this is how they are today. And so, God, I pray that you would ease the pain, that you would comfort their hearts and their spirits, that you would keep their minds on you and not be looking elsewhere, Lord Jesus, for other things. But, oh God, I pray that you would release the heartaches and the pain and the challenges, Lord, and even the demonic temptations that are before them, Lord Jesus. And Lord, for those that are single, I pray that you would protect them from those demonic temptations, Lord Jesus. And God, empower them with strength and energy to live faithfully before you and to walk in righteousness in every possible way, Lord Jesus. Forgive us, as today is a great day to start over. And Lord, we want to thank you for all the baked goods that's sitting at the back of the church that we're going to purchase as a way by fundraiser. And I want to thank you for each of the men and women that are standing within the sound of my voice and listening to what we're saying today, Lord Jesus. So bless them, bless everyone, and may they have an enjoyable Sunday afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and keep you until we meet again.